let's start off by saying we know you guys are watching. How about you guys hit that subscribe button for us?
For sure. That's what we need.
That's what we need, guys. Hit that subscribe button. You'll see more of us. You see more streams. We're on Twitter, YouTube. We're everywhere. Spotify. You name it, we're there. So let's get right into it. Let's start with Yuzu. My God. Yuzu has paid $2.4 million for their monetary relief to cease offerings to the public providing marketing, advertising, promoting, selling, testing, hosting, cloning, distributing, and otherwise trafficking Yuzu in any source code or features. They literally cannot do anything now.
But hold up. I just want to put a couple of things out there. Just a couple of things real quick. So just bear with me on this one. One, there's already a replacement Yuzu out there already. I'm not going to say what it is.
Yeah, that we know of. We already know of those.
Yeah. So there's already replacements out there. Like a day after that happened, there was already a replacement out there. So this just goes more into the fact that it's like cutting your head off of a hydra. Now, you ever heard that analogy, cutting your head off a hydra and two more just pop up out of nowhere? It's kind of like that. So good on Nintendo, I guess good on Nintendo for winning that, but they didn't accomplish much, if you know what I mean. But secondly, this kind of like sets somewhat of a bad precedent for emulation as a whole, just in general, because just seeing how like Nintendo was able to win, and they won because Yuzu was charging. I'm sure you guys looked it up and everything. You know, they was charging money. They had a Patreon up there to get like early builds of the emulator out. You know, before everyone else, they had Patreon up there. So that's really how they got them. And not only that, they actually had on their sites, quite foolishly, honestly, how to properly pirate Nintendo games, so to speak. They had that on their site. I don't know why they had that on their site. That's really dumb as shit. I don't know why that's the case. That seems dumb. You made yourself a target by doing that, but they had it on their site. So that's really why they were targeted. You know, I'm not sure if they're the biggest ones, but I do know they were the ones charging money for the use it. And you know, that's that's a big no.
They're pretty much like they were sticking out like a sore thumb, which is
It was sticking out like a sore thumb,
which isn't necessarily a bad thing because they kind of needed it and they got that recognition. You know,
what they I mean? Did. They did.
But unfortunately, it kind of backfired on them.
It did. You gave instructions on how to de-encrypt the keys, which is a big no. You was charging money, which is also a big no. And not only that, but I think Nintendo, and Danny probably read it, I think Nintendo said that around the time where they released their newest build, which was around the time Tears of the Kingdom came out, there was like a huge surge of like pirating in regards to like Tears of the Kingdom around that time. So we know what happened around that time. We know what happened. So
So this news is kind of like new to me, but apparently Yuzu had a Patreon account. Yeah, and they were bringing in about $30,000 a month.
That's what I'm talking about. Like,
which is that was their donations and how they were able to fund their product. Yeah,
So that's probably how they really got them.
Yeah, now, they probably found that out and were like, okay, you guys are worth $2.4 million, so how about you pay that up?
Yeah, exactly. How about you pay that up?
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up. But
that is kind of fucked up. But it does kind of like. Again, emulation is not going anywhere. You guys know this. People just know this. You guys on the podcast know this. Everyone knows this. Emulation isn't going nowhere. Nintendo tried this with Project Kiss before. They tried it with Dolphin. Didn't work. They're still out there. You know what I mean? They just got caught really with, from what it sounds like, from the documents, what the documents are saying, they got caught mainly because they were charging money and they were showing people how to actually pirate the games the proper way and get past copyright protection.
Right.
That's not something you're supposed to do. Normally, how you're supposed to do it, the legal way, right, guys? The legal way, wink, wink. The legal way is that you're supposed to dump your BIOS yourself. That's how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have the BIOS. You're supposed to dump yourself. That's the legal way of doing it. Does anyone do this online? Clearly, come on now. We're all grown men. We're all grown adults. We've been online since the 90s. We know no motherfucker is doing that.
Too much work.
That requires, you're not doing that. You're just not doing that. So, you're not doing that. But that's the legal way of doing it. But when you have something on your website saying, well, here's how you go against Nintendo's copyright protection.
Plain sight.
Yeah, in plain sight, you know? And so, and apparently, another thing that was insane to me, I don't know, Danny, you seem like you've been reading on this, you probably heard about this, that Nintendo's ninjas, whatever the hell they want to call them, the Nintendo ninjas the Discord of Yuzu before all this even happened.
They were watching them.
They were watching.
There was no doubt in my mind that Nintendo is watching every little thing everybody's doing. Bro, anything that's Nintendo related or has some type of relation to the Nintendo, or they're trying to copy Nintendo, they're fucking watching them.
That's what I'm saying. They're watching them. And the fucked up part is that the 3DS emulator Citra got taken down as well. Now listen, I already got Citra, so I'm cool. So you know what I mean?
You don't have Citra.
Oh yeah, I don't have Citra. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, like, you know, that's crazy. I didn't know they were behind that. So that's and obviously again, just for us being accurate and being truthful. We already know that these emulators don't technically go away. The source code is out there. Someone will fork development. That's just how it goes. That's just how it works. Like, you know, the Yuzu team themselves have to stop working on it. That doesn't say anything about some random fat nerd in his basement. It doesn't go for him. You know, exactly. You know what I mean? It doesn't go for him. So the source code's out there. You know what I mean? But I think Nintendo just did this for more like a scare tactic. You know what I mean? Which is why they didn't go after other ones that like didn't require money.
They use Yuzu as an example.
Yeah, they did. Because they were the easiest one. Remember, we've been live long enough to know. They tried this with other emulators. Dolphin. Oh, they tried it before. It didn't work because emulation is not illegal. But it's what is illegal is when you show people how to pirate and you charge for the shit.
Unfortunately, they had enough money to, you know, they didn't, I don't know.
$30,000 a month is a lot.
It is a lot.
$30,000 a month is a lot.
They probably pulled out 2.4 to finish the exactly. Lawsuit. Yeah. But they probably got a lot more somewhere.
I imagine Yuzu been out since the Switch's inception. Years. Exactly. Years. So I know they got a couple more money stacked their way. So it probably was a lot easier for them just to say, all right, I'm just gonna settle, whatever. We don't want to settle, it don't matter. You know what I mean?
Which is probably the smartest thing they can do. And
yeah. Yeah, because
what I could see is the same company just putting it under a different name.
Exactly. So let's say, even if they did, they were to win in court, right? You know how many legal fees that is? They would have been buried in it. And that's not to say Nintendo probably would have tried to appeal it, which they probably do. They have the power, they have the money, they're a big company, you know? So it's just better to settle and all that stuff. You know what I mean? They're probably thinking, hey, people are going to continue this development anyway. This is the end of it. We just have to stop. You know, we don't want to get any more trouble than we already have to. So there we go. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Yeah, so in a statement posted Monday afternoon on Yuzu Discord, the developers wrote that the support for emulator was ending effective immediately alongside with the 3DS emulator Citra. So that is going to be down too.
And that's crazy because I feel like that one was definitely more. They wasn't charging for that one, but they're 10 developers, so everything had to go. But that one was definitely way more about game preservation because Nintendo took down the eShop. You know what I mean? They're making it pretty hard to get those games on the 3DS and all that stuff. You know what I mean? And so unless you're a collector like me or stuff like that, then you're going to have a hard time getting those games. And that's unfortunate. But, I mean, collateral damage.
I mean, but as a company, like if you were Nintendo, if you were like CEO or whatever, you would be doing the same thing because you want everybody to come to you.
Well, the thing is, though, we're not aware if it's actually the CEO doing it. Apparently,
I'm just saying if, like, Nintendo itself. Like,
oh, right.
As an entity, like, Nintendo is whoever's making these decisions to go after these people.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we got to be safe. We got to save ourselves.
Well, you know, no doubt it took some time for them to build a case. You have to build a case against them. So that's why
for a long time.
That's why I said the Discord thing. They will watch it. They were sitting there biding their time, you know, rubbing their hands together like evil villains. Like, yes, we got all everything we need, all these guys and everything. And it worked. It worked. I mean, my bad. Go ahead, Don. You want to say something? They got that money. They ain't suing no more. They got that money. Yeah,
that's what we were saying. They got. That's what they settled for.
Yeah, they definitely got it. So, I mean,
it's okay though, because they made $30K a month. For
that's what me and Danny, I said, let's hear that. It's okay because they made $30K a month. So come on, is that really, how much money that really out of your pocket? Can't be much, right? But I think, interesting enough, well, I do want to post that shows, they said like over 1 million people pirated Tears of the Kingdom. That's crazy to me, because that shows, remember guys, in order for it to be online, Tears of the Kingdom, somebody within the retailer chain has to take a copy from their store and then upload it online. They have to do that. So that's like, I know that sounds like some weird ass sleeper Splinter Cell type bullshit, but it's crazy, because that means that somebody within the retailer chains, either be it GameStop, Best Buy, whoever, took a copy, uploaded it online, and 1 million people, probably PC gamers, said to themselves, hey, the performance on the Switch is garbage. I'm not buying this. It's $70, yada, yada, yada. And 1 million people pirated that game. That's unprecedented, because like I said last episode, like a lot of people pirated Pokemon. It's okay, that's expected. But for like Zelda, like a lot of people were not playing. They really were not paying full price or any price at all for the game. Exactly. So like,
that's,
you know,
that's what kind of set. I feel like that's what probably set them up the most.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Probably low key set them up the most.
People went with the free one. It looks better. It plays better.
Exactly. Yes. It plays better. It looks better. Runs better. Like, It's free. Who doesn't like free?
But I can't even lie. Like, if that was the case, I would jump on it too. Like, if it looked better and played better, why would I pay $70 for one that's less than what the free one is? You know what I mean?
My dumbass, my dumbass did not want to be in trouble for anything or put the work in to go do it. So I just bought it.
Right. No, that's understandable. It's just that I must. Now, obviously, like I said before, emulation isn't going anywhere, but this does set the precedent for future emulation, because nowadays, that's what you have to do. You have to break copyright. Essentially, you do have to break copyright to actually get the games. Like me and Danny was saying earlier, no one's going through. I don't know if our listeners know or watchers know anything, but to upload your own BIOS, that's not a simple, easy thing to do.
That's,
you know,
pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's not. It's not an easy thing to do.
It could be easy sometimes.
Yeah, it could be easy sometimes. But, like, it's not easy. Which is why a lot of emulator sites, such as Dolphin, such as PCXX, the PS2 emulator, they don't have the BIOS on there. And they say, we do not endorse piracy. They're simply offering you a product that says, hey, this emulates the capabilities of said console. That is it. You have to utilize your own BIOS. Some even go so far as to say, hey, the actual question, do you have your own BIOS before even letting you download it? They cover their asses, you know? I'm not sure. I never looked on YouTube's site. I don't know if they even asked for that. But the fact that they had like a guide on how to get past the copyright protection, I'm sure they don't ask if you have your own BIOS.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not doing that. But that's interesting. It's, yes. I'm not afraid of emulation, but I am. It just goes to show you how far Nintendo's willing to take it. And it's very. This could be signs to the Switch too, though. Well, that's good news.
Speaking of, you know what? Let's do a little sneak in a little topic. We can be short on this one. Now, I don't know if you guys seen, but I read that the Switch 2 is supposed to be, you know, close to the PS4 Pro. I wanted to punch somebody in the face.
I wanted to punch somebody in the face. That's not enough for you? That should be enough for you.
Bro, what are you doing?
It should be enough for you.
No, it should be, because the PS5, graphics-wise, is quite comparable to a PS4 Pro for being...
Not every game, though.
A good number of their games are. You're not sitting here telling me Spider-Man 2 looks that much different.
They couldn't go comparable to Xbox X, One X, remember?
Doubtful. Nah, man, no.
You know what I'm saying? It was better than the PS4 Pro, but it's still last generation.
Of course. And the thing is...
I would be more happier with that.
I mean,
PS4 Pro was barely more than the PS4.
Yeah, we know, and that, and from a technical standpoint, like even Mike, our last guest we had, even he knew about it and agreed. From a technical standpoint, it's barely more than a PS4. Like it's really just a 4K upscaler, and maybe you'll get 2 or 3 frames here and there. So
I'm not buying that shit.
But that's amazing. It did too. It was just that because, you know, when you play God of War on original PS4, your house got set on fire, and not only that, it's how much has happened.
Forget the Switch 2. Bring back Yuzu. I'll play Yuzu. No, thank you. I'm not interested. Unfortunately,
they cheap out on their hardware.
Yeah, they do. Like, don't they see that as a problem though? That they've been
apparently
behind
not,
a generation.
Not when it sells as much as the Switch, Angel. Not when it sells as much exactly. as the Switch.
That's yeah, again, but like Daniel definitely had a point though. Like they're trying to compare the Switch 2 to the PlayStation 4 Pro. Like yeah, the PlayStation 4 Pro was nice, but like he said, it's still last generation. Like well, I mean, wouldn't they want to like I get you know that they're making good sales, but like damn,
it'll be up to the fans.
Catch up to the competition.
Yeah, I don't think they care to because they see those sales.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Like for people that are like that stingy as Nintendo, you'd expect them to be like, oh, we need the best equipment.
Which is funny too, because I thought PlayStation was even more stingier than Nintendo.
And, right?
Yeah,
and
we thought wrong, apparently.
Yeah, we definitely thought wrong. I'll leave my point at this. Remember, a good majority of Nintendo's games, maybe not Xenoblade, maybe not Metro, but for a good majority of their games, like Animal Crossing or Mario, they don't have insanely huge budgets. So the fact that they sell that many copies...
Because they're still on PS3 graphics.
Exactly. So the fact that they sell that many copies, like Mario Kart 8 sold like 60 million units and some shit like that, they made their money back in front of the next 4 Mario Karts. Exactly. So, like,
yet again, because dumbasses like myself buy Nintendo games.
Yeah, dumbasses like myself too. Oh, well, you're not the only one.
Yeah. So, dumbasses like you too.
We can't come back at that. What happened, Don?
Well, performance for me. For point. Yeah,
comment below because we'll like to know.
Yeah, comment sure. before. We will like to know.
I think for me, it's definitely performance. Like, I want to be able to play whatever I want with difficulties.
That kind of throws it off a little bit, too, because as old generation as the Switch is, they couldn't even get to 60 frames.
See? There you go. That's further proof.
Barely
of
any of their games can get to 60 frames. I can name maybe a handful of them that actually are.
Might get lucky to hit.
I was happy as hell when Dread was 60 frames. And Metroid Dread 60 frames, I was so happy because that game needs it. But...
a side scroller. Like the side scrollers that are already on there aren't even 60 frames. Except for Dread got lucky to be 60 frames.
It certainly did.
Yeah. So let's move on to Microsoft Partner Preview. Did you guys take a look at that? Because it wasn't that interesting.
It wasn't. There was not much really.
Yeah,
a lot of indie games and still not much to offer.
Yeah, I was about to say I didn't get a chance to look at it, so I was going to ask.
I looked at it. I didn't like it too much.
There's only a few games that I liked. It was about like maybe let me see what I wrote here. I got like 5 games that I might have liked.
I didn't like any. I just thought that a lot. It was just a kind of a sad partner.
Sad
partner drag. Yeah, it was sad. Because I just think that it like again. You know, we are getting a lot of these like kind of indie games, which again, these are great for whenever you want to, you know, just kick back and just play a random game. And again, we're not looking for AA games like across the board all the time, but at least can we at least see like at least a single player game like that has a kind of a strong story? You know what I mean? Like. Again, this is a partner direct. Like you can't expect much from just this showcase. Like this is not actual like what they're really working on. But
well, partner direct can mean third party too. Like full fast.
Yeah, it could.
In this regard, it wasn't that way.
Right. It showed more like indies or low budget
games. I'm cool with indies. I like indie games.
You know? Yeah, no, indie games are great. But I'm saying like none of these kind of piqued my interest, in my opinion.
Right. Right. I got you.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a man.
A comeback? Because
I was gonna say, if this is their version of a comeback, they missed.
No, I mean they're dedicated. They want their they want their games or everything, and that's that they want. They're more worried about making money, and they see how,
which is the problem.
And them as well, they aren't making that much money on their console sales alone, so they'll have to put their games or everything else. Like now, even that game, what happened? I think Ghost of Tsushima that's coming out on PC. Now listen. I'm not a big fan of that game, but I'm a PC dick writer, so I'm gonna give it a try, you know. But
you damn sure are.
Yeah, but hey, at least he's an honest
guy. Yeah, I'm honest about mine. I'm honest about mine. I'm just saying, like, but that's at least going to give some money. That's going to open the doors. That money that comes from the PC sales is most likely going to fund development of Ghost of Tsushima 2. You know what I mean? That's most likely going to help it. So that's what Microsoft. That's probably what Microsoft's going for too.
How many people can you say are excited for Death Stranding 2, though?
I mean, clearly people named Don. That's the one who's excited for it. Don's gonna beat my ass. I keep talking shit about that case. I like the Persona. I like that. I like Persona. Persona expansion.
I'm gonna lay out a few games that was in the Game Pass. I mean, for the Game Pass, geez, for the Microsoft partner preview. If anybody didn't take a look, Sleight of Hand. Okay. That's a third person stealth game. The Alters, an exciting upcoming game by 11-Bit Studios. It's like a hybrid of sci-fi and third person survival adventure game. Creatures of Ava, which I would say is like another Pokemon knockoff in a way, but instead of Pokeballs, it's a flute. And that has like a cartoon style game.
It's a what? You say a flute?
Yeah, she uses like a flute or something. Like,
Jesus Christ. The Piper?
The Piper. Yeah. That was hilarious. So Final Fantasy 14 got an update, a new DLC coming. Frostpunk 2, that was also from 11-Bit Studio. That game is more of a, I don't know how to explain it because they didn't really show much. Just take a look at it, I guess, on YouTube. We don't really have too much information on that one. And then the game that Don really wanted to play, sorry if I botched the name, Kanitsugami, Path of a Goddess. Yeah, Path of a Goddess. That game looks, that one looks pretty, very interesting. And that's a new IP from Capcom.
Yeah, that does look interesting. The colors are crazy on there.
Yeah, single player action adventure strategy hybrid kind of game, Japanese folklore. There's a lot of weird creatures and stuff in there. It looks pretty good. And when I say, I would assume that all of these games are going to be everywhere.
Yeah,
I don't think they're exclusive to Xbox. So it says it's going to launch later this year on Game Pass. So if you guys have Game Pass, check it out. Kanitsugami, Path of a Goddess. That game looks interesting. When I say weird creatures, it's not like Souls or anything like that. It's very different.
Right.
And then you have a Persona 3 Reloaded Expansion Pass. We also have this game called Zayu. That's more of a side scroller type game. It kind of reminds me of the new game Prince of Persia, the Two Crowns, I guess it's called, that came out. That one is pretty cool. And then there's another game. It's called The First Berserker Kazan, if I pronounced that right.
I think you did.
That's like a Souls-like game. That one is as well. So, and then the first game that they announced was Unknown Nine. That's like this girl who's like releases her spirit or something, or a spirit out of enemies and stuff like that. It's really weird. It's an action adventure game, it looks like. So check those games out if you haven't already looked at game previews. Check it out on YouTube. You'll see all the I didn't forget, Don. I just knew it wasn't important.
Yeah, it was even worse.
The Roblox Chucky. Yeah?
No, nobody really wants to care about that except for the kids.
Yeah, except for the kids. It was cheesy.
Yeah. So what did you guys think on a rate of 1 to 10 of this?
Yeah, 1 to 10. That's good. That's Nick. Give us your rating, Nick. Give us your rating.
You know we got to give a rating.
Yeah, give us your rating, Nick.
I guess I give it a 5. This is the lowest I went in a while, actually.
Now, I thought you gave that to the direct one the 6 out of 10. So
Didn't I give it a 3?
You gave it a 3. You were far more
harsh.
I gave it a
3. I gave it a 6.
Yeah, you gave it a 6. All
but right. This time, I'm just not impressed. You know what I mean? And again, this is just first quarter, right?
Yeah, it's just like, first quarter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I feel like there's going to be more on the table for them. But I just feel like with this one is a lot of people are just not really interested. Right. Or just like you didn't really get their attention with this partner direct. You know?
Well, how about you, Danny?
I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay.
There's a nice handful of five or six games that I did like. I wanted to try out, you know. And again, this is an exclusive. I don't think they're exclusive to Xbox at all. So maybe on some Steam Deck, I'll probably check them out for sure.
All right. How about you, Angel?
For now, temporarily, it's going to go unrated for me.
Okay.
Just on the account that I didn't have a chance to take a look at some of the games that were on there.
Okay.
But what I will say, just based off of everyone's reaction here, it's nothing to be, you know, excited about.
Agreed. Aaron. Sorry, Don. Ouch. We're getting lower. I think those were exclusives last time, too.
Aaron. Again, it's just like not much we're working with here. That's why.
Did Aaron give us his rating?
No, he didn't. Loading.
Wow, this is awkward.
Maybe he's going to give it a 7, so we'll just say 7.
For the audience, if you guys want to give us a rating of what you guys thought, if you have any comments or anything you want to say about any games, or you want to kind of debate on what we said, just comment below and we'll get back to you on that. So let's move on to the next thing. I heard that WB is going to start focusing more on live service games. So why? Like, they're kind of talking about Hogwarts Legacy 2 in the future might be like a live service game. So maybe multiplayer, maybe some microtransactions.
We did say that was going to happen at some point, though. We did say that eventually. I mean,
why not just use what they have now and just update it or something like that? Because it's already a massive world. I already got like 90 gigs already sitting in my goddamn Steam Deck right now with, you know, just all single player.
Right.
I would like to play with some friends. I want to add that instead of working on a live service, free to play stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, think about Fortnite. How often do you crash on Fortnite? Not very often.
Yeah, I was about to say not very often.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't crash.
If at all, honestly.
Now I can, since they're, I don't know if they already have any live service stuff, but if they do, they need. I hope it's not like Helldivers where their servers are going to be too full or capacity issues and stuff like that. So. Again, if it's a Hogwarts game, Hogwarts Legacy game, and they try to do it this way, just I would ramp it up for the servers. Just like don't make the same mistake Helldivers did. They did fix it, which is fine. But, you know, that's a pretty popular game, I like to think. Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at them if they actually put it in like fine print that says just the beta. You know, we're just testing, but here for everybody to try it out. Then if it crashes and stuff, then I'd be like, all right, cool. It's not a full game or whatever yet. So
right.
That I understand.
Yeah, because I mean, we didn't really. So the example of what is that game that we talked about from Warner Brothers? Suicide Squad. You know what I mean?
Like that one went downhill.
It just was a poor example. And why is that? Because I mean, there's just some games that can't really manage a live service, like, you know what I mean? And sometimes, like, I don't know if these studios actually can realize that, you know what I mean? Like, they just try to do that for the profit instead of actually doing it for the game itself, you know what I mean? Like, is it going to be beneficial for the game is the main question should be asked, or that should be the main the task, right? Like, it's not just about money grabbing, you know what I mean? Like, or microtransactions, same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like at some point, like, you have to use it wisely when we're actually trying to make something good out of a live service. Fortnite did it right.
Right.
let me see. Like there's tons of games that did it right. That actually, but that was they took time to do it. You know what I mean? Like we didn't do that too much with a lot of games also on the side.
I mean, I was thinking that you've seen how well your Hogwarts Legacy did, you know, from a single player perspective. And
that's what I'm saying.
And even Mortal Kombat 1, you know, Mortal Kombat 1 may have been, to me, from a competitive standpoint, complete and utter garbage. But, you know, even you saw how good that did, and, like, you're still gunning on this live service model is, like, and I get it. It's too lucrative to give up. Like, I'm putting myself in their shoes. You're a businessman. You're trying to make as much money as possible. And what makes the most money nowadays? Clearly Fortnite, clearly Warzone. You know, Call of Duty is more popular now than it's ever been. You know, these are live service games. You want, like, you're trying to emulate their success. Problem is, over the point of development, so much bullshit just gets thrown at them. You got people calling it woke. You got people saying, why the hell can Suicide Squad kill the Justice League, which is, admittedly, from a writing standpoint, that is dumb as fuck. I will admit. You just got like it's a lot of problems that's in it. And then there's the blatant cash grab. Now I'll say this: Fortnite, it's a cash grab. You know what I mean? You know it's there for your son. You know, it's there for Nick's son to be like, not Nick's son, Danny's son to be like, hey, Dad, I want this Piccolo costume or whatever. I don't know if your kid even plays Fortnite, but it's there for, like, you know, for you to just, like, you know, spend money. It is. It's good to get the kids invested and everything like that. So that's what it is. It is a money hog. That is what it is. But I guess with WB, they don't hide it enough. I don't know. Like, you know, a lot of shit just happens and comes up that just fucks it over, you know? And then not only that, when the game comes out and it has, like, these ridiculous performance requirements, like requiring a RTX 2070 or 2080, and you look at the graphics and, like, this shit looks worse than Arkham Knight that came out in 2015, which it does, for being honest. It does. Like, if you look at the game, it looks visually worse. And I'm not sure this. I'm not a game developer. I don't know what goes. I know a little bit about game development. I don't know a lot. I don't know what's going on in the background. You know, maybe they weren't given as big of a budget as maybe we thought they would. No, stuff like that. Or maybe the cost of it being 60 frames per second was like, all right, the resolution, the textures cannot be 4K. Maybe that was the trade-off. But, like, you know, I mean, I look at this, like, this looks like a game that could definitely be done on a PS4 Pro, Xbox One X. That's what it looks like to me, you know? And, like, you gotta make your game, your live service game around, like, having that really, really addictive gameplay loop. Like, oh, hell, Divers isn't, like, innovative. But we're having fun with it, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Exactly. We are. You know what I mean? That was too. But, you know, they...
I have no idea. I don't think anybody...
No, I don't think Royal Rumble's going on. WB... But y'all may not know this, but WB actually legitimately, and you can look it up, they really do want to, like, get out of the games business. They really don't want to be involved with it really anymore. It's Warner Bros. If it's not printing money, then it's not seen as lucrative. And that's understandable, because as a company, you're supposed to be getting more sales year over year. So if it's not printing money, like, what the fuck? Why the fuck are we even doing something like this? You know what I mean? Like, they had, like, such a big product, such as DC Universe, that should be printing money. And to a certain extent, DC does print money. It does. The good Arkham series does print money. But the problem is, like, you're trying to find ways to print money in the long run, too. So you got you're making these games live service and everything like that. And it's just like I said, it works, but, like, you really got to go about it a different way. You know, they're coming off way too money hungry, honestly. I mean, like, I think I may speak for myself, but I'm Harley Quinn out. That's me, man. I've seen that far too much.
Oh, so you are playing that game.
You said you are playing that game. I mean, I'm Harley Quinn out. I don't know about anybody else, but I am. You're tired of DC in general?
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of DC in general.
That's crazy.
Bro, their movies are not the best. Like, I just recently seen Aquaman 2. Like, why is Aquaman even a thing?
Oh, Hold on. Wait a minute. Like, no. Is Aquaman even a thing?
No, thank you.
What you got against Aquaman? I mean, to be fair, I never see how useful he could be on land, though. I never understood that.
He fucking does water gun on you.
Water gun on you. I remember that episode of Family Guy where Aquaman tried to stop somebody from hurting a woman on the beach. He's like, don't do that. I'm going to throw a starfish at you. And it does nothing.
Exactly. Even Family Guy knows how useful his character is.
Yeah, so I don't know. But that's unfortunate. Really, in hindsight, it's really unfortunate that they're deciding to double down on live service games. Like, there's money to be had there, yes, because live service is successful. But it's just like, I don't know if you should be wasting precious development time and funding on something like that. Not when you've seen how good a Hogwarts Legacy has done. Granted, you know, it's probably because the other controversy around it that kind of helped it out a little bit. But not when you've seen something good, how good Mortal Kombat did. Like, Mortal Kombat 1, people hate that game, but it still sold amazing amounts. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, and you're, you know, people are buying the DLC, the corny ass Peace Walker and the corny ass, I forgot who does, oh yeah, Omni-Man, you know, they're buying those DLCs. So, like, I don't know. I feel like they just stick to what they know, but it's a good look because they seem like they're definitely doubling down on it. And that's probably like the strangest thing, really.
I mean, they did well with Hogwarts. You don't think they did good with Hogwarts? So I think
they didn't have like much
left. No, Injustice did good. Like, their fighting games do good. That's not too much the problem. The problem is when they want that game that's going to be making money passively, like a Fortnite, like a Call of Duty Warzone. It's like, oh well, you know, shit. How the fuck are we going to do this? You know, because the Battle Royale, everyone makes a Battle Royale nowadays, but Fortnite owns that. It owns that. You know, Apex and Fortnite owns that entire thing. So, like, if you make a Battle Royale, it has to really stand out. So when you make if you make a live service game, it really has to stand out. And I don't think a buff shark man shooting a gun is standing out enough. You know, why he looks stupid? You know, why does a shark have abs and shooting a gun? You know,
why not?
Why not? Yeah, why?
Against like Epic Games and Activision, like how you gonna go against like some that, like you just said, that owns the battle royale genre?
Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be scary because they want to kind of veer off the whole single player thing, which is weird because they did so well
exactly
with Hogwarts. Like, it's all cool. I like multiplayer. Make Hogwarts 2 multiplayer. Like, I want to fucking run around and shoot magic and shit with people. Yes, that's cool. But live service though, risky.
It's very extremely risky. It's very risky. And I'm not just saying that, man. If you want to be honest, it really is. Because, like, remember, guys, the budget for these games are going up. So when it flops.
They might surprise us, though. They might surprise us.
I highly doubt it. I doubt they're surprising us. It's just like, I just brought this one up because this seemed kind of just strange to be saying that after, like, your current one literally failed, like, how many weeks ago? Like, 2-3 weeks ago? So, like, you're saying that you're going to double down on it. And I get it. Like, it's lucrative. It makes money. That's what majority of gamers are playing. They're playing live service games and all that stuff, you know? And so, I don't know. It's just, it's like, it's Quidditch. It's Quidditch.
Yeah, it's Quidditch.
It's Quidditch. Yeah, I would think they would. Yeah, I would think they would. I thought Hogwarts Legacy was going to have a multiplayer component, though. I thought it was going to do it.
I don't know what the fuck they did with that. It's
not there. I thought I was going to have one, but
you can imagine that somebody's there with you.
Exactly, you can imagine somebody's there with you. Yeah, but, like, exactly. You know, I mean,
I hope it all goes well for them.
Yeah, I wish it luck. That's kind of the best, honestly, we could do. Honestly, on that one.
Other than Suicide Squad, there's not much we can say about that one because it kind of flopped.
I didn't even flop, man. That joint.
That's what they said, right?
That Suicide Squad, they definitely were a Suicide Squad. They went in there and died. Pun. Yeah. No, I'm making a joke. It's fun, stupid as shit, but it's serious.
you never make a joke and then say you're making a joke.
Yeah, dude, kind I don't of understand. The purpose of you saying that, you know.
Like, I don't understand how is it still like $60.
What if they are those $60?
Listen, I don't understand how Nintendo's prices are still the same no matter how long the game's been out.
Hey.
We're still dealing with the same problem.
Luigi's Mansion 3 is on sale right now.
Oh my
God. For how much?
Look at that.
$30.
Oh, that's not too bad, actually.
It's like 30, that's, 35, 30.
That's not really helping the case, though. Think about how often they probably do that.
It's not very often, but I guess it was Mario Day. Today's March 10th is Mario Day.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
Wait, today was Mario Day?
Today was Mario Day. Not was, is.
Oh, it is Mario
Day. It is Mario Day.
So, you know,
March 10th, so
if you want to Mario March games on sale.
Together, well, just emulate it, right?
Yeah, just emulate it. Yeah. Oh, crap.
No high seas over here.
Yeah, no high seas. We're good compatriots of the Queen's Royal Army.
I can show you all the 50 games that I got in my Switch.
I definitely buy my games.
Yeah, I pay like a citizen.
Like a good little Nintendo fanboy, I pay.
Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now I'm probably low-key tone on us.
All right, so let's get into our final, you know, this is where it kind of like gets thrown off a little bit because our main man, Akira Toriyama, he's no longer with us.
I'm about to cry.
It's very sad, man. Please. That was our Dragon Ball guy. So I'm going to let Angel take over this one because, you know, he's the most knowledgeable when it comes to anything Dragon Ball. Take it away, Jay.
I'd say, like, it's hard to not give, you know, the man props. You know, like, no matter how many people want to sit there and complain about, oh, Dragon Ball Z is not really all that good, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, first off, eat a dick. That's for one. And two, think about the overall impact that it had, you know, in the world.
Eat a dick. Like,
yes, 100%. Eat a dick. Gobble it down.
Gobble it.
It basically paved the way for modern anime, and then it's even like inspired so many out there. And it's just like, you know, it's even for me, like it's been like it's had a huge impact on my life. I've been such a huge fan of the franchise for as long as I can remember. Like I remember I had to be like maybe 6-7 years old, and I was at my grandma's house hanging out with Nick. And he pulled out Dragon Ball GT, and he showed me the very first episode I've ever seen. And I still remember it to this day. It was Super Saiyan 4 Goku versus Grade 8 Baby fighting on Planet Tuffle. And something about that fight, just, you know, when watching that scene at that age, it just resonated with me. And I've been hooked ever since.
It was the red monkey hair, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the red monkey hair.
It was
something about Super Saiyan 4 at the time.
Dude, it's the Black Air Force energy that he gives off. That's what it is.
Bro, Super Saiyan 4 has got to be like one of my favorite transformations.
Surprisingly,
dude, tell me about it.
Part of the series. It has this amazing transformation.
Bro, it literally changes everything about him. Like,
dude, he not. It's like Super Saiyan 4, in a sense, is like Goku if he never lost his memory as a kid. That's basically what it is. He still has like that raw Saiyan, you know, a vibe to him. He has that like Black Air Force energy that just emanates from him, like where he's just eliminating people left and right. When what was it, the Black Dragon or the Black Dragon Ball saga, when he was hunting down the dragons to get the Dragon Balls back, dude, he was tearing them apart in Super Saiyan 4.
I exactly.
Yeah, that's
no, and then let's not forget his impact on games. I'm not sure how many of you guys have played a game called Chrono Trigger, but
I was literally about.
Yo, bro,
literally about to
that game that. Is GOAT tier. Just that game is awesome music, awesome graphics. Like you wouldn't even think the Super Nintendo could do such a thing with that fucking game, but it does. And like he was in the character portraits, that's how good his art is. They look like Dragon Ball characters, but they don't look like they would be from Dragon Ball. That's the sign of a good artist. Somebody who can make characters like reminiscent of like his older work, but you don't get Dragon Ball from it. Not only that, he helped with one of the most popular JRPGs of all time, Dragon Quest. That's another one. You know what I mean? It's just like, he's had, like, who else do you know in the industry who's helped out on one of the most successful manga of all time, successful anime manga of all time, one of the most successful game series of all time, one of the most successful JRPGs of all time? Like, he was hitting for 1,000 each and every fucking time. That's wild.
He's unbelievable.
GOAT. He's definitely in the Hall of Fame, right? For sure.
Yes.
Yeah,
he
needs a statue.
Yeah, he really does. And now another thing too, like Dragon Ball Z. Say what you want about Super. All right, I'm not a big fan of Super myself, but Dragon Ball Z has some of the most greatest fights. And I posted it on my Instagram. Some of the most greatest fights in anime. Period. It's about Piccolo versus 17, Goku versus Goku. That shit was crazy. Goku versus Frieza. That shit was crazy.
There's that, and then there's the Goku's fight against Cell, Gohan's fight against Goku versus Majin Vegeta, the final fight against Kid Buu. They had so many iconic fights.
Too many iconic fights in
Dragon. Way too many. It's hard to pick a favorite fight.
And then another thing I saw on Twitter was that people were talking about how many callbacks that people had, other cartoons had, to like his anime. I saw Powerpuff Girls. I saw Conan Kiss Next Door. And I told y'all know the Kiss Next Door before was fight that Frieza monster. Yeah. Which is,
dude, Avatar The Last Airbender. I mean, I'm sorry, not funny as shit. But like, The Amazing World of Gumball had like a whole recall to Dragon Ball Z too.
Yeah, like transcended, and I saw big companies.
Legend.
Yeah, I saw big companies.
Dude, absolutely.
Big companies. Like giving up, like, giving praise and everything. And that speaks volumes, man.
You know what else speaks volume of the whole franchise as a whole? You can ask anybody who doesn't even watch anime or anything of the sort, and everybody knows Dragon Ball Z. Knows that name. Everybody knows the name Goku. It's so popular. Like, for like, my girlfriend doesn't watch any of it. And even she knows exactly who
it's fucking funny that he Goku brings that is. Up because y'all know who Stephen A. Smith is, right? The sports announcer, caster guy, Stephen A. Smith. Yeah, he pronounced Vegeta's name. Or he said Vegeta or some shit like that. He says he pronounced it wrong or something. But it was funny as shit because, like, you know, that's how crazy. I know that's how it transcends everything. You look at NBA.
I don't know if y'all can see my little statues up there.
Danny with the statues. That's crazy. Like, not only that, it had one of the most successful fighting games, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Like, it had, like, this man was really hitting for 1,000. And so, like, to see that he's gone is it's a blow, man. That's my childhood, man. That's a childhood right there.
Dude, it's like a good chunk of my life, to be honest. Just the franchise as a whole. I've been such a huge fan for the longest time. Like, as you just saw in Daniel's camera, he got the figurines. I never really had any of like the props, like the figurines, the posters, the manga. I just always had like the knowledge up in my noggin of everything.
You have like an infinite amount of knowledge.
Yeah, he's the. I thought I was the Dragon Ball Wikipedia. Like, I don't got shit on Angel.
He is the Bible.
He is the Bible.
Yep.
But like you mentioned before, Jay, that he has a lot of people who work close with him. So hopefully moving forward with the rest of his work.
Yeah.
And you know,
there's Toru Taro. There's people that these people that are still working on.
Yeah, the main point that I wanted to get to, and like, just I think the last time we talked about it was like the point was just, the main reason why Dragon Ball kept going after the Frieza arc was because it was the fans that wanted more. He did it for us.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, for the fans.
That's all it was.
So all I'm really hoping for is that, you know, Toyotaro and everyone else that was working within his inner circle goes into it with the same mentality. Let's do it for the fans. Let's keep this going. Keep it exciting. Keep it good. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. I feel like it'd be hard to do, but like, let's hope that they don't just ruin a very good franchise after his passing.
That's my biggest concern, right?
Don't get me wrong. I'm 100% with you. I'm terrified that they're going to do that, but I'm also hopeful that they will.
I just have an actual fear that we will see this loving franchise come to an end. You know what I mean? Because
I hope not.
Because
so long as it still sells toys, it will be around.
Well, it's getting like even toys and yeah.
Even in the manga, it's getting so exciting in the story too. Like, they have to keep this going.
Yeah, they have to keep this going, but at some point, I'm just saying, like, was this in his intentions? You know, was this something that he wanted? You know, like, that's one of the things. The studio, like me and Don talked about it off air, whereas, like, wasn't it times and point in times that he actually wanted, like you said, I think the Angel said it best, is like, I think Frieza was supposed to be, it was supposed to stop at Frieza at some point, right?
Yeah, that, it was supposed to stop with the final fight at Frieza.
But why did we continue it? Because you said the fans? Or because of the studio
Wasn't it also supposed to stop with Majin Buu?
Yeah. So...
But it was a mixture of
it was one of those
fans, it was kind of like the studio as well, right?
It was primarily the fans, if I had to say, a bit of the studio too, but there was different key points in the story where it was just supposed to end.
I feel like
the first one was
key points in the story where it was supposed to end.
I think
Frieza. Then it was supposed to be Cell. It was supposed to be like the last.
If you look at the ending of the Cell arc, you can definitely see he was bookending the series. He was closing it.
Yeah, not only that, if you think about it, like, just think about the episodes leading up to, like, that, the, you know, the Cell tournament. Like, Cell was, like, a problem. Like, he was a menace out there. Like, he was one of those, like, villains that you're like, holy shit, this is, like, some of our Z fighters are down for the count. Like, you know, we're giving it everything we got. We're, like, and we still feel like there's no hope to win this. Like, that he was just that villain. He had all the qualities of, like, a final fight, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, again, the franchise, you know, and the community wanted more, so he kept giving us more.
Yeah, they did
that in the Buu arc. That was part of the reason why they did the whole, you know, Ultimate Gohan, having Gohan fight Super Buu and all that. And as far as that aspect goes, like, that was his goal, but he realized that it wasn't getting the same traction as when Goku was in the lead role.
I'm glad Angel mentioned that, because people get that part twisted, like, as if the fans had something to do with that. That was all Toriyama. He decided to do that.
Also, little tidbit in here that I just wanted to say, because I did a little bit of research earlier. I mean, the other day. You know how there's always that statement that in the Buu saga, Gohan was the most powerful unfused character. When they started fighting Super Buu and all that.
Yeah.
Turns out that's in the beginning of his first appearance. Yes, that is the case. But as the Buu arc continues, we realize that Goku would have stomped his shit.
But like,
but yeah, that's just what I want to say. Continue.
No. So again, that's why I'm saying, like, if this is. We are going to see a change within the story. Again, hopefully it's a good change. But at the same time, like, you know, some things are going to be a drastic change, and it's going to be like it's going to affect the story or something. So I'm really hoping with you guys that it's not going to be like that for the story. But I just think, like, you know, and I like to reference this all the time. It's like the Berserk guy who actually started the series for that. I mean, the only person who really knows the ending of his story is his best friend, right? But it's not going to go beyond that. It's not going to stretch anything. It's not going to go into another series. Like, it's going to stop right there at that end. So that's a prime example, though. It's basically like what I'm saying is we can still make the video games. That's fine, you know, or the mangas, continue the mangas. But the shows and the movies is my concern. I don't know if we're going to see something that we're not going to like. You know, like, you got to understand, we grew up on it. The younger generation doesn't really have, like, an understanding of, like, how the series kind of went. If you watched it from when we started, you know what I mean? Just to see it, like, crumble down, you're like, okay, this is not making sense anymore.
Yeah, not only that, it's also became very clear, you know, over the last, like, few weeks or months of being on social media, that a lot of the newer generation don't even comprehend. It's like they also don't even comprehend the impact Dragon Ball really has.
Right.
Like, they're just like, oh, it's a bunch of people screaming. It's, oh, it's no plot.
Right. Right.
Like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
And, like I mentioned last time, a lot of these people that are, you know, having these statements like, oh, Dragon Ball Z sucks, oh, this, and this, are a lot of them are like Demon Slayer little fanboys that just came out. Like, okay, Demon Slayer has like the simplest plot ever. Destroy demons. That's it. Like, and you're Like, come on now. It's don't get me wrong, it's a good show, but like, you can't just knock what like the king of all anime like that.
But you just said a key point though. You said they're already kind of mistreating the series, right? They're like, oh, it's just a bunch of people screaming. So what are the studios going to do to get to the younger generation?
So
they're gonna start changing it, right?
I kind of hope that they don't. But if I had to say one thing, right, like for
not,
sure though,
it's not for us anymore though.
You're right. It's not like you can see that with Dragon Ball Super. Like they took off. They like the whole. Remember, no, all right, no, listen, because remember how in Dragon Ball Z, how we would get the actual battle damage. We would see their clothes tattered. You would see the blood splatter. You would see the bruises. In Super, you don't get any of that. You just get little tiny lines and scratches.
Scratches and bumps.
I remember the one time when Majin Buu killed Babidi, they showed the full effect.
Blood splatter. Like when he split in half. Yes. When he split in half and falling and shit.
Like, damn. We watched it as a kid.
In Super, like it's another good example. It's like, look at Goku's behavior in Super. It's more childlike than his Dragon Ball Z predecessor. And Z, when it came to battle, he was serious. It was, you know, he was down to the, you know, it's almost like he was channeling his inner Kakarot while he was fighting. But in Super, it's like half the time you don't get that until, like, you got his few rage moments in the actual series. Like, for example, when they're fight against Goku Black and Zamasu, when he, you know, revealed that in one of the timelines, he killed Goku, Chi-Chi, and Goten, and Goku lost his shit. Like, then that's when we see the old Goku. We see that kick in. But outside of that, it's like, you can still see the childish behavior in him. And then on top of that, whenever, you know, again, with the whole fight scenes, whenever, like, one of them gets hit really hard and they, quote-unquote, like, cough up blood, it's not even blood. It's just, like, a white color that just comes out their mouth to further, like, prove that it's for kids now. Actually, I can actually answer that one. So if you look at the Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods movie, when they did the ritual for the Super Saiyan God form, like, if you remember, they said that he dropped a few pounds and he got slimmer and he looked younger. The reason being is because if you look at all the other deities, a lot of them have, like, that really skinny physique. It almost looks like their muscles have been, like, contracted to the max to make it look like they're really skinny, when in reality they're all super powerful. So, like, if you, like, for example, like, in the Tournament of Power arc, in the beginning, before Goku tapped into Super Saiyan God again, like, he was his normal, like, you know, buff self, but when he tapped into Super Saiyan God, he got slim again. I don't know if you noticed that. So a lot of that just has to do with, like, the God key and transformations.
Yet again, Angel, the Dragon Ball Bible. He has all the information.
Yeah, that's the only unfortunate thing. They're definitely recycling a lot of shit.
Yeah, they're as far as Frieza Black goes, there's actually, like, some correlation back from the Super arc. The Super franchise, but, like, there's a point where he was talking about how he was doing, like, a lot of mental training while he was in Hell, and he was able to combine two different aspects of power to show, like, you know, the difference in his mentality and efficiency and being able to control his own, you know, power. And when he was talking about that, it showed two different colors on each hand. One side was like blue, one side was like a red color. And then now when we get the coloration of Frieza Black, his aura is purple now. So it's like combining those attributes that he mentions, basically showing his ascension and or training, or if you want to call it that, to that key. So a lot of it is like correlates with each other.
I feel like that there's like an infinite amount of transformations for everybody.
Well, as far as like Frieza goes, when it comes to Frieza, like, we also got to remember that with Frieza, he was also a prodigy fighter up until Goku, you know, him fighting him in the Namek saga. Frieza never trained before in his life. And then fast forward to the revival of Frieza movie. He only trained for 4 months, and he was able to reach Goku and Vegeta's power. Now, in this version, it's not 4 months. He found a room or a place very similar to the hyperbolic time chamber where he trained for 10 years. That's how he got that power. So you take somebody with the amount of potential that Frieza has and you train him for 10 years after just seeing what he was able to do in just 4 months. That's ridiculous.
It is.
And didn't he help? He helped fight Jiren at his base form.
No. Frieza was in his gold form and still got his shit clapped.
No, but I'm saying, like, he helped when he helped Goku. They were both, like, at their lower form, were they not?
Oh, it was because, like, if you think about it logically, they were both gassed out. Like, remember, in the Cell Saga, Goku mastered Super Saiyan to where he can be in that form and it'd be as natural as being in his base form. Goku was so fatigued and exhausted from that tournament that he was barely able to maintain Super Saiyan at some point. And then, you know, and then towards, like, the very, very end where they're about to knock him off, where Goku's, you know, flickering between Super Saiyan and his base form just further proves just how exhausted he really was. Like, he was barely running on fumes in that, towards the end of that fight.
Yeah, he's ripping everybody's ass.
Yeah, that, and he lost a lot of his you know, power and energy with his fight against Jiren. Like, we see Goku go Super Saiyan God against Kalen Caulifla. It's also stated that in that moment, his Super Saiyan God form was weaker than Vegeta's Super Saiyan form. Also further proving just how fatigued and tired he really was.
Yeah, that whole episode was brutal.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh my god.
You're talking about Broly? Dude, I know. Like, I'm so hyped that he's finally canon now. Like, that's great.
Yeah, but the superhero came out and they, like, barely had him in it.
So, yeah, well,
we got to see what they're going to really do with him.
Dude, I'm excited. I can't wait to see more of, like, what's going on in the manga right now. Like, we finally get to see Gohan Beast against, you know, MUI Goku. And
you got Vegeta Ultra Ego.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody cares for spoilers here, but and keep in mind when I say that I haven't really like specifically read through the manga myself. I've been picking up bits and pieces here and there whenever I can. But they did, you know, Gohan and Goku, they definitely fought, you know, briefly on Beerus' planet, and it ended up, you know, Goku being, you know, the one that came out on top. I don't know if that's like, you know, an official thing. I'd have to look, you know, into that some more, but I think Vegeta might want to crack at Gohan too after that, because, you know, again, we finally have Vegeta with his new form, as you know, in Ultra Ego. So it's like there's three pinnacles of power right there that are all just trying to test each other's limits. You know what I mean?
That'll be interesting seeing Ultra Ego.
I can't wait to see all three of that animated.
And then you got Broly just at Super Saiyan,
bro.
You do, guy.
Broly just at Super Saiyan.
I haven't seen him achieve anything else. He's just at Super Saiyan.
Man, put some respect on my man's orange Piccolo, all right? Got my Piccolo over here. Put some respect on his name.
Piccolo is still get his ass beat at
orange. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, no, he did. He would. Don't get me wrong, though. Piccolo in his orange form is actually extremely powerful. But I still don't really think he's touching them as far as, like...
Yeah.
In an all-out fight, like, you know, I don't think he's not beating Broly. He's not beating Goku and Vegeta.
Better than Yamcha.
Listen, at this point, everybody's better than Yamcha.
Literally.
Yamcha gave up fighting, if I'm not mistaken, except for in Superheroes.
Which is funny, because Krillin gave up fighting, he became a cop, and then he's still stronger than Yamcha.
It's funny, Krillin's actually a lot more powerful than we think he is.
He tried, like, to master Roshi and Goku.
Yeah, but no, not even just that. Like, Goku, I mean, Krillin is actually considered the strongest human, because Tien is a descendant from an alien race. And, you know, Yamcha is Yamcha. And it's already clear that Krillin's much more powerful than Yamcha. Krillin's basically at a point now where he's... In the Tournament of Power, if I remember correctly, he was at a point where he was just as strong as Goku was in Super Saiyan 2 in the Buu Saga. That's where Krillin's at right now, if I'm not mistaken. And then on top of that, he also trains with Android 18 here and there. So, yeah.
And they almost never, they don't ever really run out of energy.
Yeah, no, the Androids, they have an infinite amount of energy. They can train and get stronger, but they don't fatigue.
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, Google did something like that too.
He,
If you go on Google right now, and just literally just go to Google itself on your phone, the first thing that pops up under the search bar, it says Cartoon Network paid tribute to Dragon Ball creator Kira Toriyama following his death, with a picture of Goku right there.
Believe it or not,
it's everywhere.
He has brought so many people together.
Oh yeah, 100%.
He formed the bridge to bring a shit ton of people together.
Yeah.
Because anime would, I would think anime would be like fucking different.
I don't think anime would necessarily be quite where it's at without Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball.
Like, people can say what they want about it, but at the end of the day, Dragon Ball is what, you know, the, more or less like the king of anime.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, 100%.
In my personal opinion, it's always been in my number one spot, but that's just me. I don't know how you know, the rest of you guys might defer.
I agree with you.
I'm talking about, like, the fans in general. Like, as far as, like, the fans goes, like, you know, everybody else's opinions might differ, and that's fine.
Again,
but
we're here to, you know, entertain the fans. Just let us know what you guys think would be your top anime. But for me and Jay, and I don't know about you guys, but Dragon Ball Z has always been, like, Dragon Ball in general. Just always
it's been my, the number one.
Yeah, that's my number one right there. So,
dude, have you guys been seeing, like, those clips on, like, Instagram and TikTok that are talking about, like, the most popular anime characters throughout, like, the year or something like that, and it has, like, a list with of different specific characters with how many times they've been searched on Google or something like that, and Goku's been in the top spot for, like, the longest time, and, like, somebody would knock him down for, like, all of, like, a couple days, if that, and then he's right back up, and he's right back at the top again. It's crazy.
It's just what it is. But let's end it there. RIP to Akira. And
you will definitely be missed.
Yeah, you'll definitely be missed, and you will always be remembered. You are a legend. Hope they make a statue of you, man.
Dude, belongs in the Hall of Fame.
As far as the fans, we appreciate you guys subscribing to us, liking our videos, our shorts, and commenting and stuff like that. We appreciate you guys. We are nothing without you guys. So just if you know anybody, and if anybody's just viewing us, please subscribe because it helps us a bunch. And we'll hope to see you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.